You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Rumi's Daylight. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian welcoming you to The Philosopher's Notes on Rumi Daylight, a daybook of spiritual guidance. Mevlana Rumi, the great Islamic Persian poet and mystic. If you've ever heard of Sufism or the whirling dervishes, then you've probably been exposed, at least in part, to some of Rumi's teachings. Born in modern-day Afghanistan in the 13th century, he was one of the greatest Sufi philosophers and was the inspiration for Sema, the universal movement practiced by the whirling dervishes. If you haven't had the chance to enjoy some of Rumi's incredibly beautiful poetry before, you're in for a treat. Before we get into some of my favorite big ideas from Rumi's poetry, let's take a quick look at the man and his life, shall we? All right, his life. Mevlana Rumi was born in 1207 in what is modern-day Afghanistan. He lived his life in Konya, Turkey, which was, at the time, the capital of the dominant Western Seljuk Empire. Rumi was a professor of religion at Konya University and was respected as an incredibly mystical and spiritual man. In fact, he was known as the spokesman for the religion of love in the language of the heart. His major work, Rumi's poetry, has been captured in a number of different collections. In all, one is exposed to the manner in which Rumi demonstrates his unbridled joy that comes from living life fully, while urging us always to put aside our fears and take the risk required to do so. Although Coleman Barks' translation, The Essential Rumi, may be the most popular translation of Rumi's poetry, but I fell in love with Helminski's translation on a trip through the Middle East that included a visit to Rumi's tomb in Konya, Turkey. I have no doubt you'll love the light and beautiful collection of Rumi's poems she chose to translate in this edition. The first big idea I call Jihad Warrior. Rumi says, "The lion who breaks the enemy's ranks is a minor hero compared to the lion who conquers himself." Rumi might be called the world's ultimate jihad warrior, but only if you take a moment to appreciate the true, deeply spiritual nature of the concept of jihad, a concept distorted in modern times by both extreme Islam groups and Western views. The root of jihad means to strive or to exert oneself, and has two manifestations, one internal and one external. It's interesting to note that the struggle to achieve perfection of the self has been called the greater struggle or greater holy war, in contrast to the lesser struggle, which is against injustice and oppressors in this world. With that, let's take a quick look at the man and some of his beautiful and powerful thoughts that guide us in the greater holy war to achieve perfection of the self. We'll start with candy or self-control. Rumi says, "The intelligent want self-control. Children want candy." I don't know about you, but I'd kind of like the candy and the self-control. Seriously. Self-mastery. All the wise teachers profess its power. Nietzsche likes to say, "He who cannot command himself should obey." And many can command themselves, but much is still lacking before they can obey themselves. And Leonardo da Vinci tells us, "One can have no smaller or greater mastery than mastery of oneself." And as we saw another way Rumi says it, "The lion who breaks the enemy's ranks is a minor hero compared to the lion who overcomes himself." How about you? How's your self-mastery? Can you command yourself and then obey? Let's do a quick little exercise. What's one thing you know you should be doing that you're not currently doing? In the PDF, I provided a little space to write down answers to that question and another one. If you have a piece of paper and a pen handy, go ahead and write down your answer. What's one thing you know you should be doing that you're not currently doing? And how about something that you are doing that you know you need to stop doing? Take a moment and think about those. What's one thing you know you should be doing that you're not doing? And one thing that you are doing that you know you need to stop? It's always a good idea to find the little things that can help us master ourselves. The next big idea is growth. Rumi says, "No mirror ever became iron again. No bread ever became wheat. No ripened grape ever became sour fruit. Mature yourself and be secure from a change for the worse. Become the light." What a beautiful way to help us remember how to appreciate each step we take in the self-actualizing process. Remember that, as Rumi says, once you've evolved to a new stage of development, you simply cannot go back to the levels you were previously at. Rejoice in that fact and appreciate your growth. Become the light. And remember to have patience. As Rumi tells us, patience is the key to joy. Ah, patience. This is a virtue I am still developing, among many others, but I'm doing it patiently, of course. And I have this thought from Epictetus on my whiteboard whenever I used to feel my patience wane. If you tell me that you desire a fig, I answer that there must be time. Let it first blossom, then bear fruit, then ripen. So how's your patience? Remember, it's the key to joy. The next big idea, a couple of next big ideas are some of my favorites. Boiling scum. Rumi says, this discipline and rough treatment are a furnace to extract the silver from the dross. This testing purifies the gold by boiling the scum away. Yet another of Rumi's thoughts on the value of challenges, he says, it is God's kindness to terrify you in order to lead you to safety. And how can we possibly grow without challenge and a bit of discomfort? Do you run away from every obstacle and or complain about every challenge? Next time you find yourself in a challenging situation, step back, take a deep breath, and remember Rumi's beautiful words. This discipline and rough treatment are a furnace to extract the silver from the dross. This testing purifies the gold by boiling the scum away. And if you're not sold yet on embracing the reality of challenges as necessary for our evolution and perfection, then how about another metaphor? Making mirrors. Rumi says, if you are irritated by every rub, how will you be polished? I love that. You want to shine like a polished mirror? Then learn to dig the rubs of life. Those times that challenge us and push and polish us to become our highest, purest selves. Yeah? Great. Oh, and don't forget, Rumi says, burdens are the foundations of ease and bitter things the forerunners of pleasure. The next big idea is envy. Rumi says, on the way there is no harder pass than this. Fortunate is he who does not carry envy as a companion. And he says, indeed, envy is a defect worse than any other. Reminds me of Ralph Waldo Emerson, who says, envy is ignorance and imitation is suicide. Brilliant. Are you spending time comparing yourself to others? Why? You're here to express your highest self. Get to work on that and quit worrying about what other people are up to. And remember to burn. Rumi says, I am burning. If anyone lacks tinder, let him set his rubbish ablaze with my fire. Wow. What an amazing image. How about you? Are you burning? Can your presence help people burn through their rubbish and become ablaze with the love of life? Let's be the light and the flame that sets the world on fire. And today, make that more of a conscious practice. See if we can interact with people and really light them up. And how about the next idea, if? Rumi says, one cannot lodge in if. That's genius. Do you often say, if this happens, then I'll, or if that happens, then I'll, as Rumi so eloquently tells us, one cannot lodge in if. And to quote the Greek goddess Nike, just do it. Which brings us to the next big idea, sword of reality. Rumi says, the sword of reality is the saint's protection. There's many ways to reflect on that gem. On one hand, it makes me think of Aldous Huxley's brilliant comment, facts don't cease to exist simply because they're ignored. It also reminds me of Robert Fritz's thoughts in The Path of Least Resistance, where he outlines the need to be honest about where we're at in our lives in the process of holding the tension between our desired outcome and our current reality. He stresses the fact that if we don't have the courage to be honest about our current reality, it's impossible, yes, impossible, to create our ideal. It also makes me think about the deeper reality of our existence. As Einstein says, reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. Our belief that our deepest selves can never die, that we are separate from one another and all other life is, as Einstein so eloquently says, an illusion. The sword of reality protects the enlightened saint from these illusions. How about this idea? Rumi says, God turns you from one feeling to another and teaches by means of opposites, so that you will have two wings to fly, not one. Wow, I just love that. That's worth hearing again. God turns you from one feeling to another and teaches by means of opposites, so that you will have two wings to fly, not one. You ever notice how we can bounce back and forth from one idea to its opposite, equally convinced one was the right path or truth for us at the time? Emerson shares some amazing wisdom on this idea as well. In his brilliant essay, Self-Reliance, which I've read dozens of times and have available for free in the members section, he says, "A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, adored by little statesmen and philosophers and divines. With consistency, a great soul has simply nothing to do. He may as well concern himself with his shadow on the wall. Speak what you think now in hard words, and tomorrow speak what tomorrow thinks in hard words again, though it contradict everything you said today. Ah, so you shall be sure to be misunderstood. Is it so bad, then, to be misunderstood? Pythagoras was misunderstood, and Socrates, and Jesus, and Luther, and Copernicus, and Galileo, and Newton, and every pure and wise spirit that ever took flesh. To be great is to be misunderstood." Wow. So don't beat yourself up when you find yourself exploring different perspectives. Remember that God turns us from one feeling to another, so that we may have two wings to fly and not one. And see the creation of our beautiful wings that will continue to lift our consciousness higher and higher. And as we develop our sense of flight, we need to remember to spare no effort. Rumi says, "Travelers, it is late. Life's sun is going to set. During these brief days that you have strength, be quick and spare no effort of your wings." That's so incredibly beautiful. Are you stepping up and showing up fully in this precious hero's journey of ours? How can you more fully give yourself to the world? My friend, I repeat Rumi's wisdom. During these brief days that you have strength, be quick and spare no effort of your wings. And he says, "If your knowledge of fire has been turned to certainty by words alone, then seek to be cooked by the fire itself. Don't abide in borrowed certainty. There is no real certainty until you burn. If you wish for this, sit down in the fire." Wow. Borrowed certainty, whether it's from our family or friends or church or country. It's never a very good place to dwell. We must discover our own truth. As the Buddha says, do not believe in anything simply because you have heard it. Do not believe in anything simply because it is spoken and rumored by many. Do not believe in anything simply because it is found written in your religious books. Do not believe anything merely on the authority of your teachers and elders. Do not believe in traditions because they have been handed down for many generations. But after observations and analysis, when you find that anything agrees with reason and is conducive to the good and benefit of one and all, then accept it and live up to it. Amen. I say it's time to get cooking in the truth, huh? I'll save a seat for you in the fire. And here's the final big idea from this note, entitled Live. Rumi says, "He is a letter to everyone. You open it. It says, live." As Gandhi once said, "My life is my message." My question for you is, what is the message of your life? What does your letter say to the world? Mine? I'm going to borrow Rumi's and say, live. All right, well, that was a fun tour of some of my favorite thoughts from Rumi. Let me give you a little bit of background on the translator of this book, Camille Adams Helminski. She's the co-founder and co-director of the Threshold Society in Aptos, California, an educational foundation based on the teachings of Rumi. She's written many books, and you can learn more at Shambhala.com. And I think that if you liked this note, you'll probably like the note on Ralph Waldo Emerson, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, The Gifted Adult, and many others. Now let's take a quick look at those quotes in the sidebar. First, Rumi says, "Let's ask God to help us to self-control, for one who lacks it lacks his grace." And he says, "There is no worse sickness for the soul, O you who are proud, than this pretense of perfection." William Faulkner offers, "Don't bother just to be better than your contemporaries or predecessors. Try to be better than yourself." And Rumi says, "You think the shadow is the substance." Ralph Waldo Emerson offers, "A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, adored by little statesmen and philosophers and divines. With consistency, a great soul has simply nothing to do. He may as well concern himself with his shadow on the wall." And Rumi says, "Conventional opinion is the ruin of our souls." And finally, "My friend, the Sufi is the friend of the present moment. To say tomorrow is not our way." And with that, I wish you a wonderful moment and a string of wonderful moments, and look forward to sharing another Philosopher's Notes with you soon. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.